I'll tell you what, anybody who's been listening to the show now for years knows how what a fan and what a student of broadcasting I am. And we do a lot of stuff with broadcasters, with baseball broadcasters, hockey guys. Pete Weber is such a – I think he's one of the best in the country. But let me tell you something right now. What a thrill it is for me personally to be able to bring on the show today Mike Doc Emmerich on a Grand Avenue show for a Transportation VIP Hotline. The very best in the land as far as I'm concerned when it comes to hockey is Doc Emmerich, and he's on with us now. Doc, welcome to the show. How are you?
You are very kind. Thank you. It's good to talk to you this afternoon. So you followed the baseball guys back through the years?
Oh, yeah.
How far back?
Well, you know, Kurt Smith is a dear friend of mine. We used to do a show together for years, baseball show together.
Very good.
So Kurt and I have done a number of different things. We had a show that was just nothing but we did an hour of with baseball broadcasters, and we've had them, you know, we had them all on. We've had Vin on. We've had, you know, Dick Enberg on. We had, you know, all of the old-timers. John Miller had come on. You know, a lot of those guys had come on. So, you know, so I'm kind of a student of the game. When it comes to broadcasting, I do quite a bit myself as well. Mostly football, did a little hockey as well. But you know, it's a thrill to be able to talk to you. And I know broadcasters are that way; they really like the trade in terms of the history of the trade.
Oh yeah, I know Dick Enberg. Well, his best bit of advice, you know, I'm proud to say that I'm from Michigan, and so was he. Although he was born there, grew up there, and got his first start in that area, and I sort of transplanted in from Indiana. He said some of the best ad libs that you ever have are written down. And that's true. You know, sometimes you want to make sure that it's said exactly the way that you want to say it. And so for safety, you have it written down in front of you. You still try to say it the way you would in talking rather than reading it. But that was one good bit of advice. And John Miller, strangely enough, was a former hockey broadcaster.
Yeah.
He was the voice of the California Golden Seals on television for a series of Wednesday night games. I believe it was 72 or 73. I didn't realize that until I sent him an email congratulating him on another great honor that he had received. And he remembered the first two line combinations, and Reggie Leach, the legendary 60-goal scorer in Philly, was one of the right wingers on the Seals when John was broadcasting.
Well,
so that's just fun bits of brain candy for all of us today, like you have provided me.
Yeah, well, one that struck me very odd that I never knew, a very close a friend of mine, Eli Gold, who I had met doing first arena football, and then I was doing a pregame with Alabama, and you know, he's, of course, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and he would come on the show and do NASCAR stuff with us all the time. And then he became, for a year, the voice of the Predators on the radio side. And you know, everybody thinks Eli now. You think of Eli and his association with NASCAR and Alabama football, but not only from Brooklyn, cut his teeth doing hockey back in the day as well. So Eli Gold with, you know, voice of the Predators for a while. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, we were both in the minors together in the American Hockey League. Eli was the voice of John Brophy's Hampton Gulls. They were a farm team of the Birmingham Bulls in the World Hockey Association. And some legendary players like Rod Langway had a start down there in Hampton as part of. It was amazing some of the guys that wound up playing there. And Eli was there, and unfortunately the franchise only lasted part of 1 year, and he moved on into other pursuits. And the one that he moved into turned out really well, but I know he loved getting back into hockey for that short bit of time.
Yeah, it was good stuff. All right, and of course, Don Stevens for years. I grew up in Rochester, New York, and Don Stevens, you know, the Rochester Americans for years and years, was always a lot of fun. And, of course, we had Petey up there doing the Sabres and all that kind of stuff. So that was really, really cool stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, before the national game, you know, the Devils, you know, I was lamenting to Crazy Charlie, my producer, that, you know, poor Mike having to sit through that this season. But, you know, I guess you trade that off with the three cups and Marty Brodeur's career and everything that you've been able to. You got to have a lemon every once in a while, right?
Well, yeah, and the law of averages says you're going to have some of those. It's just the Devils have defied the law of averages a number of times. Tonight is the first game that does not have playoff implications for them since 1989. I mean, 21 years,
wow.
That's pretty good. They missed in 96, but it was on the final game that they had. They went in with a chance to make the playoffs and then lost the game to Ottawa. So in terms of their fans coming to the arena and not having something ahead to shoot for, it hasn't happened in 21 years, but it does start in Pittsburgh tonight.
And that's a game you'll have nationally on Versus. Of course, the one we've got right here, the game itself doesn't sound sexy because it's, you know, the Atlanta Thrashers in Nashville to take on the Predators. But for the Preds, it's an opportunity to jump into that five hole now. And they have been as hot as anybody in a Western Conference now here in the last month or so. And you know, and instead of having this conversation about 8 and 9 and clinching and locking up a spot, it's much, much better to be talking about getting into the 4-5 hole, maybe even getting home ice, you know, in that first round. And this Pred team has got to be turning some heads, you know, up north, I think.
Always does. And the reason is that they have always been pretty strong in these last 5 years in playing well defensively. That does equip you well in the regular season. It sure doesn't hurt you in the playoffs. Maybe they haven't actually had the matchup that they've needed in some prior years, but maybe they'll get that this year. And it sure helps to have home ice. You know, this is a team that is second now in the Jennings Trophy race. That's for total goals yielded. Only Vancouver, who seems to win everything this year, only Vancouver has given up fewer goals than Nashville has. But, yeah, they win the game tonight. They wind up being in fourth place temporarily. Phoenix and Los Angeles are not playing, so they put the pressure on them and make them win the game that they have to win. So this is significant tonight. I realize the opponent is one of those teams that's playing out the string, but we're just talking this morning with Jacques Lemaire, the coach of the Devils, about what he's looking for in these final four games from his players. And I think the conclusion is, and so this is what Predators fans can look at when they see Atlanta come out tonight, is that you can't necessarily win a spot on next year's Atlanta Thrasher team in these last games. But you can sure lose one. And they want to see which of these guys are going to play it out and play hard right to the very end. And I think that's the same thing that people here are going to be watching for in terms of the Devils, because, you know, you've still got four more games to play. Let's see how you play it.
Doc Emmerich with us on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline. We alert our affiliate down in Huntsville, Alabama. We're going to take Doc to the top here, so just sit tight on the break. How about Jose Kostitsyn? I mean, you know, he was part of that deal with Jason Arnett, and look at the way this kid has come on for a, you know, $500,000 guy or so. Oh, no, that's right. He wasn't in. I don't know why.
He was part of the rights trade for Dan Ellis and Dustin Boyd
Montreal. That's right, a Montreal deal. But Kostitsyn, you know, when you see the way that kid has played, his career was kind of floundering, and you see what he's done in terms of you know, being a guy who's going to be a 20 goal scorer. You know, what are your thoughts about the way that kid has rejuvenated himself?
Well, I think so too, and I don't know if they would David Poile would have penciled him in as a 20 goal scorer coming in. I think that would have been his hope anyway, but he's certainly risen to that level. I mean, 46 points through 74 games on a team that doesn't score a lot but doesn't give up a lot. And I think we're reaching a new badge of honor among star players, because oftentimes it was, well, yeah, they can shoot the lights out, but they don't watch the other end too well. Well, naturally, you got to watch the other end too. Now, sometimes you sacrifice your own point totals to play a team game, and that's what's impressed me most about Ilya Kovalchuk here in the second half of the season. He's been a much better defensive player. The first half of the season, he didn't have good point totals, and in the second half, he's been tremendous. Maybe not as outlandish as he would have been in a freestyle like he was in Atlanta, but his defensive game, and that's the ultimate contribution he'll make to the franchise. Like Nashville, New Jersey is wedded to the team defense and to playing well and keeping the goals against down. That's the contribution he'll be able to make here for a long time. But I don't think he learned it that much in Atlanta, but he certainly adopted to it here.
Yeah, how has he been in the room? There was a lot of talk about that whole deal with him coming in there, and of course it got all gummed up with the contract and so on, and it was almost like it portended what was going to be a tough stretch for the Devils. Of course, they had that great run in the last few months where it looked like they were going to come up and still make it into the playoff. But how has he adapted, and how has he been now in the room as far as being a teammate?
He became the emotional leader of the team. Zach Parise went down on the 30th of October. And, you know, it's always sounds good on radio for the guy that's followed the team all year to say, oh, he's just been outstanding. I would say if he hadn't been outstanding, but he was the guy they rallied behind. He was the guy that brought people out of their seats and also excited the team in some of its overtime games. He scored 4 overtime winners here in the second half. And he has been exactly what they thought they were getting in terms of how he could energize the fans and how he could energize the team. The trouble this team had was the trouble that Nashville and Pittsburgh and Detroit and maybe not San Jose, but Vancouver did not have. and that was they got some points in the first half, put them in the bank, and didn't absolutely have to have them in the second half. So he has been a wonderful contributor on a team that almost wrote some history, but not quite.
Mike Emberg with us, and I got to tell you too, Mike, you know, every network that gets hockey ends up with Doc Emberg on their games. I mean, that's just the way it's been. You've worked for them all. It's CBS, NBC, ABC. I think you did the Fox. Did you do the glowing puck? You did the glowing puck with Fox, didn't you? I think you were part of it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. For 3 of the 5 years, we had the glowing puck. John Davidson and I did the games together. And virtually every show like this one that I'm on with you now, the first question was, why are they continuing to use the glowing puck? Well, after 3 years, Fox discovered that the ratings were just not getting any higher, and they thought that that would be a boost to ratings because they'd win new fans. It turned out that wasn't the case. It cost like thunder to use it, and so after 3 years, it was dropped for the remaining two of the Fox contract. But, yeah, I go back that far. I guess the bottom line is that I don't hold a job.
Well, either that or everybody who has it decides you got to have Mike Emberg. And the thing that I always find interesting is you're from Indiana, you know, LaFontaine, Indiana, wherever that is. And it's just interesting, you know, in a game that's so dominated by the Canadian culture that now everybody just accepts Doc Emberg on their games. And that's got to be a big thing for you.
Well, it's nice that you say that. I appreciate it very much. I count myself lucky to get in free. And you know what the advantage of this job is. You get in free, they give you a good seat for the game, you get to watch the best players, and every once in a while you get something in the mail. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that. And I'm just excited about the chances that I've been given and very pleased. I grew up, and 50 years ago this past December, I saw my first game in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it hooked me on the sport. And thereafter, this was what I wanted to do. It took a long time before I was eventually able to get into the business. It's been 38 years now, but it's just like going to play every day. It really is.
Doc, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us on the show. That's going to wrap up hour number one.